Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Danielle. Lots to talk about with this game. Some
yes.
interesting things happening and maybe some not so good things happening.
Yes. Lots to talk about. De'Aaron Fox, first and foremost, because he is very important to this team. Without De'Aaron Fox, a win against Kansas doesn't seem likely.
No, I don't think so.
Because Kansas is so deep at guard. But you didn't think yesterday Michael Mulder being ill would be that big of a deal. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Because afterward, Calipari said Brad was his next option at guard. However, Calipari also said no swelling on Fox's ankle. So sounds like it could be more precautionary than anything. If there's no swelling.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with holding him out of the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, the good thing about this is that, man, Isaiah Briscoe had his worst game ever as a Cat.
0 points.
7 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox only in there for 10 minutes or whatever it was.
Eight minutes.
And they still, you know, had a 20-point lead with a minute to go.
Yeah.
Against the second-best team in the SEC.
Which is saying
almost nothing.
Yeah.
Because Florida lost at home to Vandy yesterday. Like, yeah, I mean, just terrible.
The SEC is Kentucky and everybody else.
But if you are going to take away the best point guard in the SEC,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, probably one of the best three guards, or two guards, whatever, in Isaiah Briscoe, who was basically a non-factor.
Yeah.
You know, that brings Kentucky a little bit more back down to earth as a team. And they still, you know, South Carolina made some runs, and they still were able to extend that lead because, once again, that three spot of Wenyen Gabriel and Derek Willis was great.
They were. Yeah, you can see why South Carolina went 3-3 without Sendarius Thornwell.
Oh, my gosh. He's phenomenal.
And they have almost nothing else.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox, I mean, he plays. He had 3 straight driving layups to make it 19-6, and then he twists his ankle. So it was going to be a 20-point blowout all the way throughout the game until he goes out. And then South Carolina goes on a 12-0 run and closes it to 30-27 and got it to 48-44 early in the second half, then UK on a 10-2 run. That was it. Never threatened again.
I was a little confused as to why Briscoe seemed so lost out there. It's not like he's not played the point guard position a couple of times during the year, even this year.
I don't know.
But he just, I mean, that's when they made their run. He's just turning the ball over, and it just, he didn't look right last night.
Calipari said, I gave him, you know, one more chance. And I said, then we're putting Dom in. They put Dominique Hawkins in at point guard, and that was that.
Hawkins, and he settled everything down.
Yeah. 7 assists, 2 turnovers for Dominique Hawkins. I mean, the kid doesn't turn the ball over. Yeah, he was fantastic. If it wasn't for Dominique Hawkins,
yeah,
this might have been uglier. But UK is now 17-2, 7-0 in the SEC for the third time under Calipari. 7-0 start.
I saw maybe the ESPN had what I now consider to be the most telling stat for how awful SEC basketball is. At the beginning of the game, they said this is the first time since 2003, so 13 years,
mm-hmm.
14 years, that two teams in the SEC had been were playing each other that were 5-0 or better. Because Kentucky was 6-0 at the time, and South Carolina was 5-0. So we're talking only 5 games into the season.
Yeah.
Conference
not
play.
Much.
And it has not happened in 14 years.
Jeez.
Where you've had two teams be good enough like that.
Yeah. Well, Kentucky, I mean, they should run the table in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely should. Malik Monk, 27 points on 9 of 14 shooting. He was 4 of 7 from 3, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Bam Adebayo, 18 points, 5 of 6 from the field, 8 of 12 from the free throw line.
And it still feels like he doesn't get the ball enough.
Well, he doesn't. He is 14 of 17 over the last four games.
And his free throw shooting's improved.
If you're 14 of 17, you should get the ball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what John Calipari said about Bam Adebayo getting the ball.
I told Bam after the game, you're too nice. I said, I'd strangle a couple of these guys that aren't throwing you the ball. If I was you, I would. You're so nice, you don't say anything. And we're throwing him the ball, but it's like it's a forced. It shouldn't be forced. I mean, he's that good. I even said, is he selfish? They said, no, he's not selfish. Well, then throw him the ball. And if he's double-teamed, he gives it back to you.
Yeah.
And a couple of those passes were forced. Like,
yeah.
There's so many times where you can go inside to him, and then the times where they tried to... I guess Briscoe tried to throw a couple of crazy, like, around another player bounce passes inside. It's just... No.
And it's simple. I mean, he posts, you try to get it there. If it's not there, reverse the ball, repost, post on the other side. I mean, it's just not that hard. But if you're playing in a half-court game, he's got to touch the ball.
Yeah, has to.
He's got to touch the ball every possession in the half court. Or you're just stupid.
Yeah, has to.
Because he's hit 14 of his last 17 shots.
Best part about the game and about Twitter last night was seeing everyone's reaction to, I think my favorite tweet was from TJ Beisner, who said, I will never forget where I was the night Derek Willis killed a man. That dunk
was awesome. Do we have that? Do you have that dunk? Let's go ahead. Go ahead and play the Derek Willis dunk.
For Kentucky. Willis down the line. My goodness gracious, Derek Willis. That woke up the crowd.
Yeah. That
was fun.
And Jeff Drummond, did you see his picture of it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It is phenomenal. Yeah, Willis winds up 12.7 rebounds, led the team in rebounding. Frank Martin, after the game, said, Willis always kills us.
That's two teams that Willis always kills.
Yeah, because Mike Anderson of Arkansas was like, I don't know what it is. He shows up against us. Every other game I watch him, he's horrible. We play him. Here he comes. But he and Gabriel had 11 points, 5 rebounds. Gabriel's averaging 10 points and nearly 10 rebounds his last three games. So those guys together, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks, and knocking down three-pointers.
Yeah.
If you get that from those guys, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cal said as much. You know, he's like, said, I didn't think we'd get that. You know, after the last game when we got that, but then we got it again.
Yeah. You keep getting that, it makes a huge difference. And then if you can get what Humphries did at 10 minutes. Humphries had 6 points. He was 2 for 2 from the floor, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds and 2 blocks. In 10 minutes, that one he threw off the backboard.
Yeah.
That was just a man's block shot. But UK has now shot 50% or better in 7 straight games.
I mean, they shot 58% for the game.
Yeah. So this is the longest streak of shooting 50% or better since the 83-84 season. That's because because of Bam Adebayo and transition buckets. And then they actually shoot it pretty good. I mean, Monk and his jumpers. 8 for 20 from 3. So a good 3-point shooting game. Free throw shooting was good. Yes, 21 of 28. Kentucky looked good there. But here is what is getting these other teams back into the game. Turnovers. UK had 17 turnovers. They had 16 against Mississippi State and 13 against Auburn. So UK has now had 46 turnovers in its last three games after 32 in the previous four games. So since SEC play has begun, UK had no more than 9 turnovers in its first four SEC games and has now had no less than 13 in the three since.
I think when you play as fast as they do, you're going there's an acceptable level of turnovers, and I think Cal has mentioned that since he got to UK. Like, we're going to turn it over some because we're going so fast. But a lot of these were careless, and they were in the half court. It wasn't because they were going so fast. It was just they were just making mistakes.
10 to 12 is acceptable. 17. But you think about it, that's what helped Auburn close the gap a little bit in that game. That's what helped Mississippi State go on its big run. That's what helped last night in the 12-0 run that they went on. Because the turnovers start to they feed on themselves.
Yes.
So they've got to eliminate that, no doubt. And De'Aaron Fox is also a big part of that. If he plays, turnovers go down a little bit. But it's nice to see for this team that if they have to go to Dominique Hawkins, they're going to be against the number one defense in the country, that they'll be okay. That it's not the end of the world if you lose one of your big guys. But Isaiah Briscoe, he's got to play a little better.
Yeah, and that was like an anomaly because he's
but it's two in a row though. Yeah, he didn't play well the last game. And Calipari said, look, we did all this work on Thursday and he was back out there going through a full workout. So he's putting it in. It's just if Fox isn't in the game,
yeah, it changes everything.
Yeah. It just throws Briscoe off. Briscoe's not meant to be the point guard. He's the two guard. Which is funny because he was ball dominant as a high schooler. You know, all three of those guys, Murray, Briscoe, and Euless, ball dominant players. So Briscoe's role has become not a point guard, but an off guard. And now you put him in that point guard role. It just doesn't, it's not natural for him, he doesn't feel like.
No.
And then walking the ball up the floor, that doesn't work. Calipari said it before, he wants him to put the pressure on the defense. So he takes 8 seconds to get across midcourt. Ugh. That's not Kentucky's game.
In that time, De'Aaron Fox has already scored and is back on defense.
Yeah, in 8 seconds time. Yeah, exactly. De'Aaron Fox has already scored and is playing defense. He's got to be ready to go for Kansas. And you say, well, that's a non-conference game. Tennessee's a conference game. Kentucky's going to win the SEC. Yeah. Doesn't matter. They could lose to Tennessee on Tuesday, and Kentucky will still win the SEC. Kansas is for seeding. Would you like to be the number one seed, or would you like to be a two seed? I feel like that's what the game is for.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. And without De'Aaron Fox, Frank Mason is just too good. He's very good. And Kansas as a whole is a great team.
That Jackson kid.
Yeah.
Is pretty sharp. All right, coming up on today's show, we have Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader at 10 o'clock. Going to talk some more UK football. And then on this station right here, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, beginning at 2 o'clock, NFL playoff coverage begins at 3 o'clock. The NFC Championship game between the Green Bay Packers and Atlanta Falcons, followed by, at 6:30, the AFC Championship game between Pittsburgh and New England. We will definitely talk some NFL on this show this morning. And take your calls, 381-1313. Back with more on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm in control of my world. My world is the same every day.
Every minute, my world seems to get a little smaller.
Every
My world is driving me crazy.
My world. What world? If your world is controlled by alcohol, there is hope.
We're AA. Alcoholics helping other alcoholics get sober for more than 70 years.
You'll find us in the phone book, your local newspaper, or on the web at AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous.
It's the big January inventory clearance sale going on now at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters. Save on thousands of accessories for all makes and models of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Remote car starts starting at just $189. Plus, every brand of truck bed covers, tires, wheels, and Jeep accessories. At Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters, spray-on bed liners, toolboxes, backup cameras, and even car stereos are at inventory clearance prices. WeatherTech floor liners as low as $89 and window tinting only $59.95. We'll beat any internet or competitor's price. So call or come in and tell us what you want. We have it at January inventory clearance prices and get up to 12 months no interest financing. All right now. All at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters behind Aurora Pools and Spas just off West New Circle. It's the big January inventory clearance sale at Smoky Mountain Truck and Jeep Outfitters going on now.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
What is this song? What we got here?
Black Beatles.
Black Beatles.
Yeah.
I don't
Race
know this
Rumored. This is Sam's favorite band. Yeah. Or they're not a band, obviously. They're just two dudes, and then they have a producer and a mixer and all that. But
Big Sean was on SNL last night.
He's awesome.
Ugh.
Really? Ugh. I have a DVR, and I was asleep by 11.
Well, maybe the second song got better. I didn't make it past Weekend Update. But the first song was worse than some of the skits. I mean,
and that's saying a lot.
And that's saying a lot. Yeah, the skits were. There was one pretty funny one, which Trump absolutely is just cringing over, I'm sure. But Kellyanne Conway did like a musical number, and it's pretty funny. But if you're a Trump supporter, and you know, you probably absolutely hated it and thought it was disgusting. But Big Sean, I just didn't get it. Maybe I don't know. He didn't even sound like he has a good voice to do what he's.
Oh, really? Because he does. Yeah. Okay. So maybe he just didn't translate well live or something.
All right. Al is on the phone, 381-1313, if you want to get in here. Good morning, Al.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
All
good,
right.
Al.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's a pretty tense America we're living in. And, you know, to say anything political, you can get in trouble. But I enjoyed what Ashley Jewett said. I thought it takes a lot of courage to say certain things, man. You put your whole career on the line, like old Don Imus, and sometimes you can say stuff, man, and you get yourself in trouble. So in this era we're living in, you have to watch what you say.
Yeah.
I think in the SEC play, they're going to have to watch what Coach Cal say, because I think he's going to say dribble drive. I think he's going to say play New York type of defense back in the Pat Riley era. Not dirty defense like the Bad Boys of Detroit, but strong, stout defense. The kids that we labeled one and done are now going into the maturation period of becoming that NBA type player.
Yeah, they're sophomores, sophomores and juniors now in their transformation.
Ain't no question, MJ. I think that you're seeing these kids coming together. Mark, who is a guy that, although went through the AAU circuit, remind me of guys that played during the Duke Minnesota era, way before, you know, different from James Lee and them, where they were able to wrap the ball around their back, go in on your dunk, pull up for, you know, three, you know, big-time Jays, wasn't bashful to put the ball in their hands and make big-time shots amongst that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he took over. But at one point, my wife goes, okay, Monk, take over. She's like, show us you could take over a game. He did.
Yeah, and he can.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting. In NFL games today, people are going to have to listen to what Tom Brady say. If his wide receivers catch the passes that the Tomlin defenders don't cover well, it's going to be, it could get ugly up there. But with that said, Big Ben is only a few plays away and two Super Bowls himself, but having, you know, four Super Bowls rings as well. You can't underestimate this guy. Big Ben is a guy that looked like when he's tackled that he is a bird that got bees on him. He seems unaffected, that he don't go down, and you look up and he's going to hit a guy wide open for a big touchdown to put him right back in that game.
And there might not be anyone playing better right now than Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, ain't no question. You got three quarterbacks with the number 12 on their jersey that could very well be playing in the Super Bowl, because you can't count out Aaron Rodgers. We will be rooting for Randall Cobb. We will be rooting for Cobb. I think the Hawks just came out of nowhere to put themselves in a position that they have. Julio Jones and Matty Ice down there can't be overlooked. And I think it's going to be a big playoff series.
Well, can't be overlooked, but the Falcons are the only team that the NFL does not want in the Super Bowl, or let's say Fox doesn't want in the Super Bowl, because Packers-Patriots, Packers-Steelers would be phenomenal as far as ratings and all that. And even though Atlanta's a big city, it's just Falcons aren't as much of one of America's teams as Packers, Steelers, Patriots. Like, there are those three, fans of those three teams, big pockets of them all
everywhere.
Over the place.
Yeah.
You see them everywhere. I am not a fan of either the Steelers or the Patriots, but I cannot wait to see the game between them tonight.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Steelers got enough rest. They can catch up because they did have to wake up at 3 o'clock this morning due to a fire alarm being pulled by a Boston man in the Steelers hotel. Did you hear that, Al?
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, somebody from Boston showed up at the Steelers hotel and pulled the fire alarm at 3 a.m., woke up Mike Tomlin and the crew.
I would say it wasn't Roger Goodell.
It might have been Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's fitting. Talk a little bit about, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. I thought they probably disappointed a bunch of their fans. But you put the ball in the hands of a rookie quarterback that had a phenomenal year. Those are the kind of losses that will probably mature him to where he will win those type of games. And, he's from the SEC, done a great job, represented that logo pretty good. And
oh, gosh, that was an unbelievable game. I mean, I couldn't take my eyes off that game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Appreciate the job you guys do and taking my call. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, thanks, Al. You do
thanks.
The same.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. And he said he just drew it up.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff.
That was a great game. I hope we have two great games
I know.
Today. You got to think we will.
I don't really want, with Jacob Tammy not being able to play,
mm-hmm.
the Falcons don't have the same kind of allure for me to cheer for them. But I just want two great games. Because there have been some playoff games in this, some games in this playoff series that have just been, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are. You got the Rich Brooks connection to the Falcons. You got the Jacob Tammy connection. You got, they're the South's team, I guess, outside of the Cowboys, but Atlanta. But for some reason, I'm not drawn to them.
No, there's not a connection there.
And I don't like the Packers, and I don't like the Steelers, and I don't like the Patriots. I like the Bears. And they stink.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so bad.
Hey, do
maybe
you remember,
Johnny Manziel could be the quarterback.
Do you remember when the Vikings were 5-0?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
And then they'd completely collapsed. Yeah.
You know, no Bridgewater. But you got that Bradford kid. Oh, yeah. What about Antonio Brown? I don't know if you've heard this yet this morning because it's only been out for a few hours. It came out like at 6 o'clock this morning. Ian Rappaport reported that Antonio Brown has a six-figure deal with Facebook. He's got a contract with Facebook before all this happened. So he knew exactly what he was doing.
And it's been a talk, a talking point all week. It hasn't died all week.
It has not. His Facebook Live, in violation of NFL policy, in violation of Steelers team policy, and exposing his coach, calling the Patriots something bad. And it was all planned. This is just about him making money. It's all about money.
When you told me that this morning, because I hadn't seen it, that blew me away a little bit.
It was mind-blowing to me as well. And it's so disrespectful to your team. Some of those guys clearly didn't care. They're like,
are we still live? Yeah. Are we still live?
Right.
Yeah.
And then there was another section of the team that were adults, I believe, that were talking about things they needed to do to win the next game in the Super Bowl. I feel like Antonio Brown's like, yeah, just throw me the ball. I'm going to do my work, get it in, and Facebook Live. And y'all talk all that noise because it makes you feel good. Go and do that.
But then there's another part that's like, yeah, just throw him the ball.
Well, of course. Of course.
He's that good. Just throw him.
But it's like when Calipari says, quit trying to be too cool, too casual, too cool. You know, you're too cool to do the tough things it takes to win. I'm not saying he's too cool, but he's too cool to be that kind of guy in the locker room, you know.
Well, he should be a huge leader given the position that he is in with that team.
Like, there are some guys that will get out there and get super fiery and give this big, you know, heartfelt speech about how we're going to win this game and what we're going to do. And, you know, he's all in. And then there's another guy that's in the back going like, check out this fool, man. Listen to him, man. He takes it way too serious. There's another, you know, there's a guy on the team that's that. That's Antonio Brown. That's him. Roethlisberger is over there preaching. Antonio Brown's like, Roethlisberger, man, he be tripping. Crazy. That's Antonio Brown. And by the way, what Mike Tomlin said,
Even have a problem with it, honestly. I mean, isn't that what, and that's not even where you're like, oh, it's locker room talk. That's just, I would expect that that's what.
I mean, the Patriots probably think the same thing of the Steelers.
Yeah.
Bunch of jerks over there, we're going to beat them.
And honestly, so. Football is a sport where you kind of, like, to go out and do what you do. Don't you have to, for those 3.5 hours, have that mentality?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have to.
Yeah. I love how Mike Tomlin addressed the whole thing, by the way. He's like, three things. Let's talk about them right now. Number one, I regret what I said. Or he didn't say he regretted what he said. He said it was regrettable.
Yeah.
That he said what he said, meaning.
I wouldn't have regretted it if it wasn't on Facebook.
Right. I thought I was talking to my team privately, but that's not really what he was saying. More so, he said, I appreciate the platform I have been given in the NFL, and using that platform with curse words is not how I would ever intend it to be. I would never do that knowingly because of kids. And everywhere, I appreciate the chance I have to be a role model and to be a person with this platform. And then, secondly, is like, it's not going to affect anything. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's the AFC Championship game. The Super Bowl's on the line. Doesn't matter what we say. It's not going to get them to play harder against us. And thirdly, Antonio Brown is selfish. And clearly, he knows he's selfish. He goes, yeah, coach, I'm selfish. I know. I knew what I was doing. You're right. But then he said, I'm not going to punish the Steelers. Punish him. So I think he should see whatever it is that contract is with Facebook and make Antonio Brown...
Fine him.
Give a percentage of that to something good. You know? Well, besides his pocket.
Yeah. Well, all those fines that players and coaches pay throughout the whole year, they go to charity.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they went directly to Roger Goodell. Because he makes like $800 million a year.
I know. It will be awkward if the Patriots do win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady and Robert Kraft are up there. With Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
And I think Tom Brady doesn't give a you-know-what anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's the greatest ever, probably, so who cares? And it would be funny if he was just like...
Well, couldn't you see the three of them standing there and, like, Brady's got the Super Bowl trophy, like, in his left hand, and Goodell's standing to his left. And, like, Brady raises it up, but when he does, he kind of bumps Roger in the face and knocks a tooth out or something. Kind of like, oh, sorry. Sorry, Roger, did I get you? Didn't mean to. Super Bowl trophy, kind of heavy. didn't see you there. That would be excellent.
Hey, you know what? You know what sucks? Moving.
It does. Unless you have wonderful help, which we did yesterday. Moved my parents. And had Landon Young show up.
Oh, I was wanting to tease it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's go to break and we'll tell you what.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, how it happened.
Yes. How did Landon Young help Dan's parents move yesterday?
Come about? How did it go? I'll tell you about it next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
HelpWantedLexington.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. HelpWantedLexington.com. Local jobs that work.
Your dental needs don't have to just stop at general cleaning. Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire. Visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, for all your dental needs.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, or eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue in Lexington to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again. Are you embarrassed about missing teeth? Are you self-conscious around others because your dentures might slip or spaces left by missing teeth may show? Become comfortable and confident again with dental implants from Dr. Claire.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington, and be proud to show off those pearly whites.
Kentucky Conservatory Theater presents Winterfest 2017 with the Broadway smash hit Dreamgirls. This wonderful musical follows the story of a young female singing trio from Chicago called The Dreams, who become music superstars. This two-week festival at the Grand Reserve will offer 8 opportunities to enjoy an evening of classic R&B with a dinner program. For ticket information, visit mykct.org.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, way down yonder on the chat.
All right, Mary Jo. You know who this is, by the way?
Yeah, this is Alan Jackson.
Oh!
How would I...
I don't know.
Alan Jackson has 8 billion songs.
He does. Entertainer of the Year 20 times in a row,
I think. Can honestly, like, if they're playing a song that sounds like this, and if you guess Garth Brooks or Alan Jackson, 50% of the time you're going to be right.
So yesterday, my parents moved. Now, my parents they lived in Florida for a long time, and then they moved up here about 3 years ago, and they're fairly close, like less than 15 minutes away. But they're getting to a point where they may need more help, just need us to be around a little bit more and just help with things. So a house came open on my street, two doors down from me, two houses down. Like, hey, ought to take a look at it, see. Well, it all worked out. So they're moving in. And my dad has a horrible back. He's probably going to have surgery next month. It looks like if that one doesn't work, maybe even another one, which would be his third back surgery. So he can't lift. He can't do a lot of that. I mean, it hurts sometimes to walk a little bit. And then my mother, she doesn't really like to drive much. You know, she's just gotten to the point where she just doesn't like to. So anyway, they can't move, you know, themselves. My wife and I and my brother also cannot do it all. It would take us.
But you've been helping for the last couple weeks,
right?
Get things ready and all that.
Yeah, our plan, I think, was to move over the course of 4 weekends. Was kind of it, like help pack, which we've done, and then them move what they can with the help of my brother in the evening and us helping in the evening, and then on a weekend get as much as we can and just, you know, drag it out, because the cost of hiring movers, you know, it could go, you know, upwards of $2,000.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So where my parents go to church, Tate's Creek Christian Church, they asked, you know, is there anyone that can help us? So I leave this show, and I know that there's going to be some folks, whoever decides to show up. But you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know if anybody's going to show up. You just heard that, yeah, we asked. They said they should be able to help us out. So I go over, and immediately I just walk up and start taking stuff off the truck. And I look over, and I'm like, is that? That's Landon Young. I mean, because a 6'7" dude kind of stands out from the rest. Like, hey, Landon, I'm Dan. This is, you know, from the Dan and Mary Jo Show. We've had you on the show. Like, oh, yeah, small world. Like, yeah, these are my parents. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate it. So then at one point, right, there's this huge cabinet, a big wooden cabinet, kind of like a dresser or something, but long. It's just long. There's no way one person could pick it up. Like, you would have to, if I were to try to pick it up, my arms wouldn't even reach halfway down.
You couldn't even get a grip.
Right. Yeah. And if I did get a grip, I would have to lean backwards and all the weight would be like on my back. There's just no way.
Yeah.
It's too big. So Landon and this other guy are bringing it up the stairs. And this stairway is a nightmare. It starts up one way, curls around and goes back the other way. And that little curl turn is a nightmare. It's just narrow. And then you get to the top of the stairs, and the hallway is also very narrow. So they're bringing it up, and they start to try to maneuver it into this room. And Landon's like, hey, just back off for a second. Let me try something. Landon grabs it like, you know, like it's a roll of paper towels and picks it up and maneuvers it wherever he wants it to go and puts it, where would you like this, ma'am? Right here? Does this work? Okay. I mean, it was nothing for him. Nothing. But his mom and dad were there helping too. They could not have been more wonderful. All of these people. I mean, who gives up their Saturday? Yeah, I mean, you've watched the Seinfeld episode where, you know, Keith Hernandez asked Seinfeld to help him move. I'm like, I don't think our friendship's on that relationship, on that level yet. We haven't gotten there. And, you know, whenever a friend says, hey, can you help him move? You're like, ugh. Well, I think that weekend I have to.
Right, and even when you need help, you, like, hate asking people.
Right.
Because it's the worst.
Nobody likes to move. So for these people to give up their own time, I mean, some of these people didn't. Landon Young doesn't know my parents. Some of these people didn't know my parents at all. They go to church there, but they don't hang out. So they just gave up their own time to come out there and help. So apparently, before I got there, because they started moving this, you know, that morning at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. They started going at 9 o'clock. And my dad has woodworking and all this stuff in the garage. He's got a shop. So they're moving his garage to the new garage. And that's where Landon was doing a lot of stuff, where my dad was. So my dad, oh, he loves to talk. You know, he's chatting it up. So he's talking to Landon. And now my dad, growing up, I've been hunting with my dad, shooting, fishing. He taught me to fish. We did a whole lot of fishing, camping, all that stuff. That's right up Landon's alley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So dad hits it off with Landon because they're talking about fishing and carrying on. So by the end of it, as we're leaving, Landon's giving my dad his cell phone number and saying, hey, you know, when you want to, you know, get together, go hunting, you want to go fishing. And so my dad goes, yeah, I'm going to teach Landon how to fly fish. Landon's like, I've always wanted to learn how to fly fish. Dad's like, and I'm going to teach you.
And your dad has a new favorite player.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They didn't know. None of them knew who he was. And so I go up there. I go, Dad, do you know who this is? Like, yeah. Like Landon Young? I was like, oh, yeah. Because he's heard us talk about him.
Yeah.
So he didn't get it until I'm like, you won a state championship in wrestling, a state championship in discus. He would play it on a football team that was runner-up of the state championship. When he played against Alabama, the guy who won the award for best defensive lineman in the country on the national champion runner-up, Alabama, said that the toughest guy he's played against his whole career was Landon Young. That's the him. Landon Young. That's what he's what I'm talking about. And so by the end of it, Landon's telling me where to fish, where I can take my kids to go fish. Hey, you can come over to my house and fish. We got a pond over there. So, yeah, we're just best friends now. I think
I'm so jealous.
I think we're having a sleepover tonight.
That is by awesome. So, I mean, that's one of those things where, I mean, our perception of Landon Young was always really great. But that's one of those things that, you know, he's never going to get credit for that. And it's not like it was a, you know, it was just, he's spending his Saturday afternoon helping people move that he doesn't know.
Exactly.
But how lucky are you when you show up and it's like, who else would you want to move you but the strongest ox-like 6'7" dude?
Right.
Like, that's amazing. Like, you hope the church doesn't send over, you know, 70-year-old guy who's like, hey, I'm free this afternoon. I can help move some teacups.
No, we got a 20-year-old who, you know, benches 400 pounds.
Yeah, that worked out.
Squats 500. Yeah. Yeah, that worked out phenomenal.
Very cool. Very cool.
Again, for these people to give up their time. And the reason I had debated on whether or not to tweet out the picture. Like, hey, Landon, we've got to get a picture. So I got to have this. Whether I tweet it or not, I just got to have this picture of the day you moved my parents onto my street.
Yeah.
That it was, you know, you that did it. So I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I think this should get at. People should know that this is the kind of kid he is.
Yeah.
Because you hear about, especially with UK basketball, some of what they've done has been publicized. Like Marcus Lee, especially. Nerlens Noel.
Yeah.
And then some of the stuff Calipari said they do and you don't even know about. And this wasn't going to be publicized either. Like, nobody was going to say, oh, well, Landon. Like, he didn't even tell them. Like, UK doesn't even know.
Because it wasn't visiting a children's hospital.
Right. He's just going and helping somebody move. So, but to do it, he's doing it because they go to this church. And the church said, hey, can you help? Anybody can help. Here's something to go help. Because churches provide opportunities to serve your community and serve others in the congregation. So, again, it was just so cool to show up and see, be like, hey, how about that?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very cool. I love that story.
So, yeah, I'm hoping to take the kids and go fishing at his pond pretty soon. I mean, he's showing us, like, the biggest bass he's caught, the catfish that he's caught, the frogs that he's gigged, the deer, I think it was a 12-point.
Did you all even talk football?
We did, just a little bit. And that was more so like toward the end, his dad goes, I've got to get this kid something to eat. He eats about six meals a day. So it's been about three hours.
He's used to having a Gatorade bar. Do you?
Right. Talked a little bit of football. He told me about, I think it was his very first workout. He goes in and he's early, but he can't work the keypad, or he's forgotten the code on the keypad. And so he can't get in. So he winds up being late. And because he's late, he has to do the stair climbers. He has to do stair climbers for like 30 minutes. And he tells us how Jordan Jones can do stair climbers without getting tired. So much so that he'll just show up late on purpose to have to do them. I mean, it was
more polar opposite than us,
yeah.
Who find different ways
to avoid
going up two flights of stairs to get to this studio on Saturday and Sunday. I've completely eliminated Saturdays. I now take the elevator because the door is open. I can get in. Sundays, I still have to climb the stairs. Two flights. That's it. And yeah. And I dream about ways where I can, like, is it worth it for me to walk all through Victorian Square to get up? And sometimes it is.
But, you know, that fits in line with what Stoops has said about Jordan Jones.
Yeah.
That he doesn't get tired.
You can see it on the field.
Yeah.
Gosh, you can see it on the field.
Now, I didn't do the majority of the moving because I was here doing the radio show. By the time I got over there, the truck, the last load was probably halfway full still. So, and then we had some other stuff to do, just some, like, to go get some pictures that were left or whatever. So I did some moving like that. And then towards the end of the day, there was furniture. There was a couch and a sofa. And those were heavy. And they about killed me. So I can't imagine if I would have had to lift some of this stuff, you know, throughout an entire day. I only spent maybe like 5 hours messing around with it. And we ate lunch in there in between.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll take a break. Take your calls, 381-1313. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll talk UK football with Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald later here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could give you two pieces of advice in choosing the law firm to represent you for your injuries, it would be simple. Pick a firm that's been around a long time. I've seen so many come and go. And pick a firm with the financial strength to give you the best chance to be fully compensated for what has been taken from you. Our battles have been against the establishment, tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance companies, and bully corporations. We advance on behalf of our clients millions of dollars, sometimes $1 million in a single case, to fight the giants. Whether it's a car crash case, workers' compensation, medical malpractice, or an insurance dispute, you need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar, toe to toe, so that you have a fighting chance. For 30 years, we've represented the people, not the powerful. Let us fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices, Lexington.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports got the ride you're looking for.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown, to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat. Share our passion. Offer subject to change. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But
most of all, ride victoriously.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I know this one, Rihanna, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Featuring Drake, who I assume is going to be up next on the Cal podcast.
Well, I did see Calipari say that this his next guest performed at Drake's OVO weekend.
Oh,
so I think
I know he said artist.
Yeah, so I think he's saying it's someone who's...
I think Drake has taped one.
I'm sure. So this has got to be a buddy of Drake's or another entertainer. Who would it be?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was going to be Drake.
Who is it?
It's going to be Kevin Hart, I think.
Kevin Hart performed? Did he perform at Drake's
OVO? I don't know.
Drake's
OVO it'd be cool. It'd be cool if, you know.
I think it's a musician.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Also, Kevin Hart has been.
Waka.
Ooh, I wouldn't mind Waka.
What?
Waka Flocka.
Waka Flocka Flame?
Waka Flocka Flame.
Hmm. You got me on that one.
Ooh.
Huh? Grove Street? It's a party. It's a party.
Oh, okay.
Party,
well, I didn't realize that's who
sang
that. I don't care to hear from them for an hour with Coach Cal, though.
No, I don't
know what that would be like.
I don't either. Yeah. I can't say I would be excited about it.
We'll find out on Thursday.
We will. This last one, it's the only one I've listened to. Have you listened to any of the other ones?
Yeah, I have. I listened to, what was the first one?
Barkley?
I listened to Charles Barkley.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, again, it's not, you didn't find out anything you didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, the best one I've listened to so far, hands down, was there was a bonus episode at Christmas that was just him and his family.
I bet that one was good.
Just ripping each other back and forth, telling old stories about Christmases in Massachusetts and in Memphis and it was everyone. It was Brad, Megan, Aaron, and Ellen. Mm-hmm. And basically, they're all ripping Cal the whole time. And it reminded me so much of, like, Cal and Brad. Okay, Brad gets ripped on constantly. I mean, they just shred Brad.
Well, he's got two sisters.
Yeah, and they are...
And now his dad's coaching him, so...
They are brutal with Brad. And it was so honest... Do you know what I mean? Like, it sounded like my family at our Christmas dinner table, like ripping my dad. And it was so funny. And, you know, when you have those inside things with your siblings and parents, you know, where they're like, oh, remember the pipes broke at the UMass.
Yeah.
But Ellen is like fixing it all because Cal can't do anything.
Yeah.
And they all just, they're just so mean to Brad.
Well, speaking of
Brad. There's so mean to Brad.
Speaking of Brad, here is what John Calipari said when he was asked. Because Calipari said, you know, Brad is my next option at guard because Mulder was out, you know. So he was asked, if your next option is Brad, why would you not go to Hamidou Diallo and why are you resisting that? Here's what he said.
Because I'd want to play Brad, mainly. And I would tell you that if I have to play Brad, we're going to play some more zone. All you guys out there, you basketball Benny, saying that he never played zone. I played some zone today. How'd it look? 3-3 basket. Okay, that's no way I don't play zone. But no, we're not. That's not even in the cards. He's working hard. I mean, he's been here 3-4 days, and you know we have a kid on campus who knows him and say, man, look at him. I mean, he's getting better. He's, you know, he came here for a reason. He wants to be his best version. How good can I get? How good can I be? And what I want him to do is I want him to go after Malik and Isaiah. He's really good on-ball defender, like really good. Like go after these guys. Make them better. If they're not practicing hard, make them look bad. But, yeah, he's not in the mix.
So that little sly of we got this kid on campus who?
Mm-hmm.
And that was Mohamed Bamba.
Yes. Like he was visiting this weekend, yeah. Yeah, you didn't. It was a little subtle. Got this kid that knows who he is. Yeah. All right, next, switching and talking football with the Lexington Herald Leader's Jen Smith here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLXG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
I mean, if you look back at the 2015-2016 NBA season, I mean, LeBron James was the most valuable player. He almost single-handedly won an NBA championship, but it's a regular season award, so Steph Curry got it. I think it actually makes sense to include the postseason and the championships before we make those decisions. And so I would like to form a movement that the MVP voting should not take place until the conclusion of the entirety of a season so we can determine who truly was the most valuable. Golic says...
I don't really care one way or the other.
Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
The difference between you and me, I tell it like it is, you tell it how it might be.
Beat the technique. That damn Max Kellerman, I know he's going to be smiling tomorrow.
They are frequently a laughing stock.
And oh, by the way, have the temerity, the unmitigated gall, to sit up there and bloviate about this stuff, and you ain't even in first place. Wow! Shut the hell up!
Catch those vapors, Stephen A.
The debate starts here. First Take, now on ESPN, weekdays at 10.
Oh, no, just stop it!
Monday on Mike and Mike, the guys will have complete reaction to Conference Championship Sunday. Plus, we begin to look ahead to Super Bowl 51. The guys will be joined by Tom Waddle.
I just thought their wide receivers won their battles.
Louis Riddick.
To me, one of the most impressive plays I've seen all year.
And Donovan McNabb.
It's not only going to be a great pass, but it will be accurate for wide receivers to be able to catch and run.
It's a huge football Monday on Mike and Mike. 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
The best of the NBA on ESPN. It's a Wednesday night doubleheader featuring the game's best. First, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and the Warriors travel east to take on the Hornets.
Steph Curry from way downtown!
Then, the Lakers face off against Dame Lillard and the Blazers. Warriors Hornets at 8 Eastern, Lakers Blazers at 10:30, Wednesday on ESPN, and streaming live on the ESPN app and watch ESPN.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
To all of you Cowboy fans out there, because they are America's team, right? They are everywhere, right? We live, eat, and breathe the Cowboys. Let me tell you right now how happy I am at your misery. I can't stand you, Cowboy fans. You make me sick. You make me want to throw up. I think you're delusional. I think you're disgusting. You get on my damn nerves, and I could give 2 cents about your feelings.
The Stephen A. Smith Show. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on Sirius XM Channel 80 and the ESPN app.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLXG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi with the latest injury news on this NFL Conference Championship Sunday from ESPN's Ed Werder. Injured Packers receivers Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and Geronimo Allison are game-time decisions for the NFC Championship game against the Falcons, but all expect to play. Regardless of who Green Bay has on the field, it's unlikely Atlanta can stop quarterback Aaron Rodgers, according to ESPN's Trent Dilfer.
I'm hearing about Vic Beasley's speed and, you know, Dwight Freeney, you know, has 30 good plays in him and they can push the puck. Yeah, so does everybody else. He will find a way to make plays. You know, he's in the zone where it just it's too easy. I mean, when you're drawing stuff up in the dirt in the huddle and you're hitting 36-yard completions on 3rd and 20 to win the game, you're at a level that nobody else has been in quite a while.
Trent Dilfer on Russillo and Canal. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting. Patriots tight end Martellus Bennett and receivers Chris Hogan and Malcolm Mitchell are all expected to play in the AFC title game versus the Steelers. Receiver Danny Amendola is considered questionable. Schefter also reports the Colts brought in psychologists to help improve the relationship between Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson in an effort to stabilize the organization and improve communication at the highest levels. Ultimately, though, owner Jim Irsay determined that relationship was unworkable, and he made the decision to part ways with GM Grigson yesterday. Both number one seeds upset at the Australian Open on the men's side. Andy Murray lost to Mishka Zverev in 5 sets. Women's defending champ Angelique Kerber beaten by American Coco Vandeweghe in straight sets.
Don't miss Greeny and Golic Monday morning with complete reaction to Conference Championship Sunday. Plus, they begin to look ahead to Super Bowl 51 with Tom Waddle, Lewis Riddick, and Donovan McNabb. It all starts at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Listen for the Big Blue Report with Dan Reifer on this LM Communications radio station. Brought to you by Republic Bank, where it's just easier here.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future. Not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan. ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Home ownership is truly the American dream, and at Bluegrass Land Title, we can help make that dream come true for you. Buying a home is one of the most important purchases you'll ever make. At Bluegrass Land Title, we have a dedicated team of attorneys and professionals to ensure that your transaction goes as quickly and smoothly as possible. Responsive and knowledgeable, we are dedicated exclusively to real estate transactions. Learn more at BluegrassLandTitle.com or visit one of our offices in Lexington, Louisville, and Elizabeth.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reifer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reifer and Mary Jo Perino.
We've been talking mostly basketball, but a little football as well, and we'll continue along those lines with Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader. She joins us now. And Jen, I understand you have just a little bit of time in between road trips to talk football.
Yeah, I've been from LSU back to Lexington. Now I'm headed to Auburn. So, you know, it's just one of those weird times of the year.
Now, what time is that game today? 2 o'clock, is that right?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Eastern time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Kentucky team.
Don't confuse me with the time zone.
The Kentucky women took care of LSU, no problem, the other night.
And that's three straight, and that's after a little rough patch. What has been, before we get into football, just real quick, what's been the turnaround kind of for them?
You know, I think that he finally just told the seniors to stop worrying about the NCAA tournament, to stop worrying about finishing in the top four in the SEC or trying to host an NCAA tournament game, to just focus on the next game and what their, like, energy is and what their attitude is, and not to get so down on themselves when things go bad. And I think that's really sort of helped the whole team as far as emotional happiness and body language and lots of other stuff. I mean, Evelyn Akator is a completely changed player since that Texas A&M game when things sort of came undone at the end.
She's been in beast mode.
She has.
I mean,
I'm not sure I've seen such a dynamic change or shift in a player. I mean, she went from a kid that looked really uncertain every time she touched the ball to a kid that looks like she's going to drive the ball and get a layup no matter who is in front of her. And you don't see that very often in women's basketball. You sort of see the growth, you know, a steady growth, but she's gone from sort of, you know, oh gosh, what should I do, to beast mode in literally three games. It's been sort of fun to watch.
I haven't been able to watch it as closely as I usually do, but from what I've seen, Jada Roper's role seems to be increasing. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it sort of did by necessity when Jess Harden went out with her injury. I think Jada finally realized that the stuff that a lot of freshmen figure out, that you got to work a little harder than you did in high school, mm-hmm. and that you have to get, you know, the things that you're not great at in high school really show up when you face another college player that's better than you or around the same pattern or same gift as you. So it's sort of fun to see her in the, you know, she talked about all the extra drills she's doing, all the shooting that she's having to do. First, she never did in high school because she was always just sort of a notch better than her competition. So it's, you know, it's the stuff you see almost every freshman go through. It happens with the men too. I mean, I've read stories about that with Malik Monk and you know, De'Aaron Fox and all those guys.
Considering the off season that Matthew Mitchell had, and I know we called you about football, but considering the offseason that Matthew Mitchell and his team had and how kind of shorthanded they are, what were your expectations for them to be at this point in the season, and have they kind of met them or exceeded them or not there yet?
I guess I expected them to be a little more inconsistent than they've been. They've had some ups and downs, obviously, but they've won some games that maybe I didn't expect them to win, especially early in the season. I really thought this was going to be an okay season for them. I think that they could easily finish in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight like they do almost every season. And, you know, because of Epps and Akator, I mean, they're two of the best players in the country. I think Taylor Murray has really elevated her game. She's the point guard. And I think that her really growing into that role and becoming an actual leader on this team actually sort of bodes well for the future in ways that I was a little bit worried about going forward. I mean, I think she's going to be a leader on this team in a year. She already is. But, you know, I think that losing Epps and Akator is going to be really hard in a year. But I do think that they've sort of rebounded quicker for the future than I thought that they might.
Talking to Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. I know this isn't your first trip to Auburn, so I want to ask you, have you ever eaten at Cock of the Walk down there?
I have not.
Well,
is this someplace I need to eat at? Are they open on Sunday?
I think they are. I think Sunday's a big day for them. But if you, I mean, I couldn't tell you exactly where it is because I can't remember all the roads and stuff down there, but Cock of the Walk, if it's still there, it should still be there, but they have like peacocks walking around in a huge pond out back, and it's kind of a, you know, southern cooking place, but they flip the cornbread in the skillet right at your table. And the food's good. Food's good. So
interesting. I'm glad you mentioned peacocks. I was a little confused about the early recommendation on that.
Yeah. They have this fried peacock that is simply to die for.
Peacock wings, if you've never had them. No.
Get some feathers in your mouth.
All right, let's get into DJ Elliott leaving now. You were able to get a hold of him and talk to him. I think you're the only one who talked, or at least the first one to talk to him about leaving. And just tell us a little bit about what his thoughts were and what he had to say.
DJ continued to be DJ, which is really not very forthcoming.
Right.
And not very demonstrative. He's always very careful with his words.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I honestly think that what he said is sort of what happened. I think that he's always been sort of interested in getting him, you know, I think his wife has moved around a ton in the last decade with him.
Right.
And I think that he was always very interested in sort of getting back to that part of the country. He didn't say this, but I'd heard through various sources that he got offered this job a couple of years ago, but turned it down just because he felt like he wasn't done at Kentucky. You know, I think that there was probably a little more push to go because of all the stuff that happened last season with, you know, having the job taken, the play calling role taken away from him and that kind of stuff. But I do think that this has always been sort of one of his dream landing spots because he likes that part of the country. You know, his family is very active, and Colorado is one of those places where really super active people go. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think that having his wife's family 20 minutes from campus is just one of those things that you can't say no to if you get the opportunity twice.
Well, if you've ever been to Boulder, and I've been several times, it is a outdoors person paradise. I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing there.
Yes. You can go hiking. You're 5 minutes from wonderful hiking anywhere.
And he's getting in on this staff just as the Colorado program seems to be kind of taking off. I mean, they had a pretty fantastic year being, you know, a top 10 team for a while and being in the Pac-12 championship game. So, you know, he's not going to Colorado at a time where they're struggling.
It's not rebuilding. Yeah, no doubt. You know, in my mind, it was sort of, he didn't say this, but I certainly, just watching sort of how things have gone the last year or two, I think it might be good for him to sort of get out of Mark Stoops' shadow. He's always been sort of second to Mark. I think he's always, you know, they're such good friends, and Mark is such a mentor for him that it might be good for him to sort of set out on his own and create his own program and build his own defense and see, you know, if all the stuff that he's kind of learned with Stoops the last few years he can put to use somewhere else. So, you know, I don't know what that means for him in the future, but I do think that maybe it was good for them to sort of separate for a little while.
So are you thinking someone in-house already is going to take over that role? I don't think, it doesn't sound like Stoops is going to fully give up the reins on the defensive side of the ball. So I feel like bringing an outsider in, that's not really a selling point if your head coach is still going to do part of the play calling and all that. So do you think it's someone from in-house already?
I think that Stoops is pretty flexible on the play calling thing. I think he thoroughly enjoyed it, but I think he absolutely had to do it. So I'm not positive that he feels this pressure to keep his hand on the pulse of the play calling and on the defense. I do think that it takes a very special dude to be able to do all of the, like Elliot, to do all of the planning, all of the background, all of the sort of scheming and the pre-stuff, and then just hand over the reins to the head coach to do the play calling.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm not positive that the dudes that they have on the inside, guys like House, who's called plays on his own before, or Kleinscale, who was a co-defensive coordinator, are necessarily guys who would be okay with that. And I'm not positive you could bring in a lot of guys who'd be okay with that. So I think Stoops is sort of in a place where he has to figure out exactly who he wants to be and what he wants his role to be with the defense. You know, if it's just enough to help coach safeties like he's been doing and, you know, before this, or if he really wants to continue to play call. And I think that he decided, I mean, from what I understand, he's decided to take a couple weeks, finish up the signing class, and then make that decision. You know, and some other things might sort of get in his way, like if House gets offered a job at Wisconsin or something like that. But I don't think he's in any rush to get it done.
Talking with Jen Smith of the Lexington Herald Leader here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. So, Jen, we discussed this yesterday on our show. Who would be your top three names? Do you have three names that you would think are candidates, top three candidates? I think Derek Ansley, for me, I think is a very interesting person for this job. I think he would be my number one candidate. That's just me. Where do you go with this?
I think that Derek is sort of in a spot, though, where he moved back home to where he's from in Alabama with his family, who's also from there, and he's working for, you know, arguably the top program in the country. And then, you know, and is sort of in a good position to do that. But, you know, I think that he'll be on the short list, obviously. I still think that, you know, despite all the stuff I just rambled off to you, I still think that House is a pretty good guess. Mm-hmm. I think that he and Stoops have a really good relationship, and Stoops was really happy with the way that special teams went this year for the most part. I think that he was very complimentary of Matt House. Another name that I would toss out there just as a maybe is a guy like Andy Boo, who I think wanted to be defensive coordinator and has a ton of experience at that, and then left for Maryland in the middle of the spring practice. But he left on such good terms with Stoops. I mean, it was clear that they both really enjoyed their time working together. They had a good collaboration. And, you know, while Maryland is a good job and working for your friend DJ Durkin is a good deal, you know, being a coordinator in the SEC is lucrative, and it's also very high profile. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like that came back.
Well, by the way, on Andy Boo, when they let us take a tour of the new training facility, he was walking the hallways with DJ Elliott showing him the place. So
yeah,
if that's any indication of the relationship he still has with the University of Kentucky football staff,
The guys on defense really liked Andy Boo. I mean, I there's no doubt in my mind that he will be somebody that Stoops will at least put a feeler out for and say, you know, how do you see the defense working if I'm involved? How do you see the defense working if you were to come back? I can't imagine him making that move so quickly afterward, but you never know in these situations anymore. And Andy Boo's wife is from Southern Indiana, and her family is still there. So, you know, there's always a chance.
But Stoops doesn't appear to be in any huge rush to get this done.
No, and my source said relax when I asked about it several times. So I would say that he's in no rush at all.
Which is good for you because there's, you know, women's basketball games you got to cover.
Oh, I'm sure the no rush will mean, like, in the middle of March this will drop.
Right.
No, yeah, of course.
Absolutely. All right, Jen, well, safe travels. Wait a minute.
Can I ask you one more question, Jen? And I'm going to go back to women's basketball for a second. We kind of talked about this last weekend, but you've covered it for so long. I just kind of wanted to get your perspective on it. UConn, you know, is on this historic run. Have won, you know, 800 games in a row, whatever it is. Good for the game, bad for the game.
You know, as somebody who's followed Kentucky men's basketball for as long as I have, I tend to see it from that lens too. And if Kentucky was on a historic run like this, I think fans would love it, but they'd be Kentucky fans only. I think that I think the rest of the world would be like, oh, I'm sick of Kentucky the way that people are sort of sick of UConn. I do think that somebody else is going to have to go up and grab it and sort of grow the game in that way. But, you know, Geno sets the standard. It's what he does. And until somebody does it, then he's going to be on top. I don't know that I think it's great for the game, but I also think that dominance in any sport is you know, sort of fun to watch from afar.
To me, it is fun to watch, but it's also in November, I feel like I already know who's going to win the championship. And they're probably going to win it by 30 points.
Yeah, that part sort of makes it not as fun. But, you know, I'm an AP voter for women's basketball, and it was fun not putting them in the top three for a couple weeks before we realized they were still the same UConn. You know, it's fun. It's interesting.
All right, I just want to get your take on that.
Well, and for women's basketball, to me anyway, it would help if there were a few more teams good enough to compete with UConn, like that South Carolina game coming up. That's one I'll watch because South Carolina is good enough to compete with them. But Tennessee is not that anymore.
I think that's what I missed. I missed sort of there was always, in the way that Duke and Kentucky have sort of become this sort of competitive thing on the men's side. I miss when there used to be sort of the villain of Geno Auriemma and like Pat Summitt and sort of their back and forth. In that whole, like, you know, good guy, bad guy, good cop, bad cop thing. It made women's basketball sort of fun to watch and much more interesting to watch because you didn't feel like you knew how it was going to end.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the Baylor coach was that way for a little bit too, because
Brittany Griner.
and she's a, you know, she's a fiery little lady.
A little firecracker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I think it made it more fun that Geno and Pat really disliked each other, and it was very apparent that they disliked each other. And, you know, I think anytime you have that, you have excellent storyline potential, and people would sort of latch on to that. But right now, it's UConn's to lose.
Unfortunately. All right. Well, Jen, enjoy the trip to Auburn, and thank you for making time for us.
Sure. Have a good day.
Cock of the walk. Don't forget.
It's not just my nickname. Take a break and be back with more. 381-1313 if you want to get in here on the Data Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Found some chords in an order that is
new. I wish I didn't. The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitar Show on ESPN Radio.
Alex Smith, you know, God bless him. But...
No, God, no bless him. No blessings. No. No, God bless him. God should not bless him for ruining our football.
Yeah, that was a bad experience.
God should curse him. He made the Steelers uninteresting.
Yeah.
Dan Lebatard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Everybody rides at North Broadway Auto. For over 20 years, North Broadway Auto has been Lexington's biggest and best buy-here, pay-here auto dealer. Tax time. Yes, tax time is the right time to find a quality ride at North Broadway Auto. Bad credit? No credit? Bankruptcy? No problem. With over 300 cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, we're here to help you find that perfect ride. Call 293-2353 or stop by 131 West New Circle Road at the corner of Old Paris Pike and New Circle. Right on the corner, right on the price. North Broadway Auto.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
For Kentucky. Willis down the line.
It looks like both have.
How about Derek's dunk? I mean, that was crazy. No, they're both stepping up. And they're, you know, I also held them accountable and said, look, if you guys can't get this done, I'll play a small lineup or I'll play a big lineup. It's on you. And they're getting better. I mean, the biggest thing we do here is we make these kids be responsible for themselves. And then we bring them together. A bunch of unselfish kids. I thought, again, Malik Monk. You know, he shoots 17 or 14 balls and scores 27. It's crazy. I mean, he's not out there just jacking balls, but I got to let him go some because he just does some crazy stuff. Not being selfish, he just can score.
If your son is one of the...
So now, back-to-back games for Derek Willis and Winyon Gabriel, of going for 20-plus points, double-digit rebounds, couple blocks. Yesterday it was 23 points, 12 rebounds, two block shots. I mean, these guys...
You'll take that every time.
These guys can just keep doing that. You know, at Tennessee, another 20 points and another 10 to 15 rebounds between the two of them every time. And yes, Malik Monk, when he's on, he's on. I think that last game against Mississippi State... He clearly was forcing the issue. He was not playing through the flow of the game.
There are times when he tries to do too much.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Now let me ask you this. Because you were kind of high on Wenyon before Wenyon started doing this over the last stretch of games. Is there... I kind of thought early on, well, we're going to have him for another year. Do you see if he keeps going in the way he's going? Because... I mean, he's long. He can shoot. But do you see him here next year if things keep going the way they're going?
No.
Yeah.
I don't
either.
Because he did something yesterday that we saw earlier in the season. And if he's able to unleash that even more, which is shot fake and drive to the basket and then contort his body in such a way to avoid... You know, getting a shot blocked and making a basket. Like, he's so good. The reverses, finding a way to get angles, to get get a layup. But to be able to blow by somebody, because now you got to respect his three. He's made six threes the last two games.
Is it 6 of 9?
Yesterday he was 3 of... where do I have him there?
He was 3 of 3 in the game before that.
And then yesterday he was 3 of 8, maybe. I think they were 4 of 11. Yeah, he was 3 of 8. So he's 6 of 11.
Eight. Yeah, 6 of 11.
Of 11. But anyway, 6 three-pointers that he's made, so you have to respect that shot. So if he puts up the shot fake, he gets you in the air, then he drives by and goes for a much higher percentage shot. If he starts doing that, look out. I mean, if he shows that game more so in March... Where they, remember Marcus Lee in March a couple years ago? They were ready to draft him based on that as a freshman. March is so big, that stage. It is.
It
tells GMs and scouts, these kids can shine on the big stage. I've seen enough. We're ready to go.
Listen, I know it's a different position on the floor, but... Wenyon's performing at a higher level than Scal did last year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how to compare draft classes if last year's was weaker at some positions and this year. Yeah, I just don't want to speak to that off the top of my head because I don't want to sound like a moron. But I'm not sure he's here next year.
In the first month of the season, I heard, maybe three or four analysts, national, local, I don't want to say their names because I can't remember exactly, but let's just sports figures, you know, people who talk about sports on TV and radio for a living. And when they were asked who the most impressive player on Kentucky is, they didn't say Monk or Fox. They were all saying Winyon Gabriel. This was back in November because they had seen a few games and just they all would say because of the ceiling. His ceiling seems so much higher because of how he can handle the ball and shoot the ball at his size. Well, it's turned out his defense has affected maybe that opinion a little bit. And then as Monk has shown his scoring ability and Fox has shown off his speed, I think if you were to ask those same people right now who they're most impressed with, they would say Fox or Monk. But Gabriel is starting to, his defense has improved. He's starting to get it more. And I do. I think he's about to take off and not be back.
And the difference, like with Scal last year, is he would have a game,
yeah,
right? He'd have one game where you're like, oh, that's the dude we were waiting for. Mm-hmm. But then he'd have four or five in a row where it wasn't. And then, so there was, I feel like with Wenyon, it's been more of a crescendo, not completely up and down like Scal was. Like, okay, we started off slow, but now it's like a more consistent thing. You know, you can see him growing and getting better, and he doesn't seem to revert, or at least he hasn't yet. He just kind of keeps getting better, and if he follows on that track, there's just no way.
And these teams Kentucky is going to face in the SEC, I mean, it's perfect practice for to grow and become the team he wants them to be come March. Let's hear from John Calipari on this was his overall assessment of, okay, first Dominique was great coming in and playing at the point guard. But then he says something right here, and he says Malik, but he means Isaiah Briscoe. So go ahead and play it.
Well, I thought Dominique was great, and you know what I'm going to hear as soon as I get home. Why aren't you putting in Brad? If you need another guard, he's there. So I got to deal with that when I go home. Just one more thing to deal with. I'm saying I may have to put him in. But Dom was terrific. And the other thing is we play with Derek or Wenyon at the three every day in practice. We do. So we can play with those two on the floor. Malik has had back-to-back.
Briscoe.
You know, kind of bust kind of games. I mean, he's better than this. And at one point in the first half, I just said, look, I'm going to go without you now. You got a minute. And what I ended up doing, and Kenny Payne said, well, just put Dom at point. Because Dom plays point every day in practice against De'Aaron Fox. Every day. So Dom looked fine. Again, Dom had 7 assists and 2 turns, and one was late when no one on the other guys could get open for him. So he did fine. I thought Derek and Wenyon again, you know, they're just giving us so much now. 23 points, 12 rebounds at that position, making threes, making open shots, rebounding balls. They had 23 points in combined, 12 rebounds out of that position. And then I played them some together. But it was for us to be down that way and against a team that creates havoc because of how they play. And Frank,
so, yeah, to get, he said to be down that way. I guess he means for them to make a run.
Yes.
Yeah. They never
trailed. They never trailed, but.
They never trailed in the game. But this team has enough depth, Mary Jo, to get through De'Aaron Fox. Now, we'll see. I mean, if you're running into, you know, the 4 seed in the tournament, in the Sweet 16, and maybe you can't survive if De'Aaron Fox is out. But Dominique Hawkins doesn't turn it over. And if you get this from Winyon Gabriel and Derek Willis, don't forget about Bam. We'll talk about Bam a little more coming up next. And take your calls, 381-1313, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this. On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, even eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington.
Hello, Banks Floor Covering.
I heard my voice on your radio commercial. How did you do that?
Well, since you keep calling looking for everything, we decided we'd use your calls to show how we really do have something for everyone.
So I'm famous now?
We're famous for offering the newest in Carndine PVC flooring and helping with free estimates, expert installation, and affordable financing.
I'll have my agents call you to talk about money.
We've got something for everyone at Banks Floor Covering, 1117 Winchester Road, just off New Circle Road in Lexington.
Hey, the holidays are over. It's January. But why not continue that holiday feeling at Tony's? Great food, great service, and that family atmosphere that everyone has come to love. Right across from Triangle Park, it's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com and keep the holidays going.
Why is Seaview Outfitters as good as it is? The idea started with Steve and his boyhood trips to Alaska. The great outdoors, the lifestyle, and the clothing that helped people live it. That's what the Seaview is all about. The right clothing and gear for any outdoor pursuit. Brand names you know and love, and people whose passion for the outdoors will rival your own. West Main Street next to Tony's Steaks and Seafood, downtown Lexington. Online at SeaviewOutfitters.com. Seaview Outfitters, carrying Patagonia, Arc'teryx, Yeti, and more.
He's the founding member, the voice, and the songwriter of the legendary Moody Blues. The volunteers of the Troubadour Concert Series and Hybrid Springwater present Justin Hayward in concert.
Nights in white satin.
Justin Hayward in concert, Lexington Opera House, Tuesday, February 14th. For tickets, 233-3535, presented by Hybrid Springwater and ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
They bring the trap. Here's Monk, springs out of it, and he's going to go to the line and try to complete a three-point play. 17 from Malik Monk. There's one angle to this for Kentucky that might pay off. They said South Carolina will do things to take you out of your rhythm. Well, guess what? We have some athletes that can still make plays when you take us away from what we want to do in the half court.
An unbelievable work the last week, man. He's putting in time. He's mastering his craft. We had a great practice film session. I go up to my office and I shower and I look back and he and Isaiah Briscoe are like in a full body sweat getting a workout in. That's what we need to see. I mean, you know, my job is to get them to come together. Their job is to be responsible for themselves. Like Isaiah knows, this isn't about me or Barkin, or it's how he played. And he said, I'm not playing well. I got to get this going. And we're not the team we need to be unless he's playing well. I mean, he had no points today. Come on. Backs into points. I mean, he had nothing today. And that's okay. I mean, we still won, and he was happy as heck in there. But, you know, there's a concern for him. You know, now it's like, come on, I know I'm better than this. The kid had seven turnovers. What? Seven turnovers. And he's not the kind of kid that does that. Not the kind of player.
And like he said, he backs into points. I mean, he gets to the line at least.
I'm not sure yesterday why he played the way he did, especially if he's putting in the work. Because it's one of those things, when you put in the work, then you just perform.
Yeah.
Like, just with anything in life. Like, just this radio show. If I sit there and spend 2 hours looking up stuff and preparing stuff to talk about, then this show shouldn't suck at that point. Or if you go work out and hit the gym, the next time somebody talks noise to you, you're going to be like, keep it up, because I'm bad.
Think how good this show would be if I put in any of the work. If I did anything.
Hey, you read what I give you.
Yeah, I mean, we could blow this thing. We could nationally syndicate this, Jesse, if I did anything. And if we had a new producer.
Well, that's obvious. The producer would take us to another level, but...
Dab it out, Josh. Dab it out. There we go. All right.
We think along the same lines, so I figure I'm just doing it for both of us.
It's a group effort that I provide little effort.
I don't see Isaiah Briscoe going 0 points, 7 turnovers,
no.
4 fouls
no.
again.
No.
If he's putting the work in, then he'll turn it around. He'll be fine.
By the way, Cal comes up with like one phrase a year, doesn't he? And it's got to be mastering his craft this year.
That
is this year, mastering his craft.
He, you're right. He comes up with a new one every year where he's read something, talked to someone, heard something, and it goes bang, and it sticks, and then he just repeats it. It works, though.
He has said that several times this year.
He has. It works. It's kind of a, you know, it just sticks, gets in there, and then you hear his players repeat it.
Yeah. So you know he's saying it in practice.
It's kind of like Trump's press secretary when he says it's the most people in the inauguration history showing up. Period.
So I just have to share that. The Dallas Stars last night, the hockey team, in kind of a jest of how many people were at the inauguration versus what they say and blah, 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 blah. They put up on the Jumbotron a shot of the crowd, and it says, attendance, 1.5 million. I mean, that's clever. That's classic. That's good. That's good stuff right there. What? Regardless of what side of the aisle you fall on, that has to tickle your funny bone.
Exactly. The only thing that drives me crazy about all this back and forth and all this is that you can't laugh about some of it. Like, don't get upset that it's funny that guy, the press secretary, said that. Come on.
Yeah.
You know it wasn't the most people that ever attended the inauguration. It's not like, but they take it and be like, you're trying to say that Obama was so much better. Just, come on. It wasn't the most. I don't know why you would just expect everyone to believe that. And then if it's made fun of that you said it was the most, then you can't get mad about that. Come on. We're not all idiots, and I don't care, really.
Exactly.
If you're for Trump or not, just we're not all stupid. We're not all just like, oh, they said it was the most ever. No. And so don't get mad about this either if the Dallas Stars put up. Well, you got to be able to laugh at that.
That's
you just
funny.
Have to be.
That's funny. And also, who cares how many people were at the inauguration?
Yeah,
I just don't care. Does anybody truly care?
I mean,
what difference does it make?
Unless it looks
people
like
people watched it at home. People would. I mean, who cares? It doesn't really mean anything.
I mean, unless it looks like a Missouri basketball home game.
Bless. Hey.
Hey, I tell you.
Now it would have been really funny if they had put that up on the Jumbotron last night. 1.5 million and showed a shot of the crowd with 1.5 people.
Hey, I tell you who's not laughing. Georgia. Oh my gosh, did they get hosed yesterday? Georgia at Texas A&M. Georgia loses 63-62. The Bulldogs were up 9 with 2 minutes to go, and then Texas A&M goes on a 10-0 run. All right, so Georgia has the ball for a chance to take the lead, win the game. The clock is winding down, and it stops at 5.6 and just sits there as play continues.
Oh, I didn't see this.
So now there's no way to look up and glance at the clock and know how much time you really have because it's sitting on 5.6. So you could look up and see 5.6, even though that might have been 5.6 seconds ago. Because you're only looking up for a tenth of a second anyway. You know, it's not like you're staring at it for 2 seconds.
Right.
So Mayton, is it DeAndre Mayton, is going in and he gets fouled. So he's got two shots. Make them both. You win the game. Make one. It's tied. Well, the refs go and look at it, and they time it out on their own clocks, and they say when he got fouled, 6.6 seconds had elapsed. So even though it was frozen at 5.6, the amount of time that elapsed was 6.6, so the game had been over by 1 second when he was fouled, even though nobody in the whole place knows that because it stopped at 5.6.
Oh, so they just called the game then?
They just called the game. That was it. They said, okay, game over. You lost. You got fouled a second too late. Yeah, Mark Fox was not happy.
No, that's awful.
It is awful. So now, you know, something's going to have to be done. You've got to rectify that. You can't allow that to happen again. So what do you do when the clock stops and nobody sees it until something has happened? What if he makes a shot and it wins the game right there? What if that shot goes in? Then you're just going to go look at the replay and time it on a stopwatch? Yeah. If there's a clock malfunction,
that shouldn't be how the game is decided.
No. Then what do you do? Do you start it at 5.6? That's when it stopped, but you were already into your play. So now you have to reset at 5.6? But you can't go over and go back to the time they got the ball to inbound, can you? Well, you could. You could go back to how much time was on the clock when Georgia first got the possession.
That's what I was thinking might have been the best plan. But now the other side, A&M would say, well, they saw what our defense was going to be. Now, yeah. You know, we need to change things up because they know what we were doing. Oh, gosh, I did not hear about that. That's awful. And Vanderbilt won at Florida.
So Florida's lost two in a row now after being undefeated in the SEC. Uh-huh. That was 68-66. The rest of the SEC, Ole Miss was a winner at Missouri, 75-71. Alabama lost to Auburn, at Auburn, 84-64. 20 points.
Yeah.
Did you see Bruce Pearl after the game? All right, Bruce Pearl comes out after the game, after they've won the game. It was like a whiteout or whatever. Yeah, Bruce Pearl is a promoter. Okay, let me tell you, when I lived down there, I went to an Alabama at Auburn basketball game thinking, okay, hey, this is
rivals.
This is the Iron Bowl of basketball. This ought to be, you know, kind of heated. Because I knew already that Auburn didn't bring out much of a crowd. I'd been to a couple games. And I believe Cliff Ellis was still the coach. Maybe his last year is when I covered him down there. So I thought, there hasn't been much of a crowd to the games I'd been to that point. But then this one, I thought, okay. I mean, there was just no fervor. There was the light crowd. Nobody was really into it a whole lot. Student section was okay, but it was no better than, let's say, Dunbar's Dog Pound. You know what I mean? And so the next game I went to while I was down there, the only game I went to while I was down there that had a big crowd was Kentucky, when Tubby Smith brought Kentucky down there. So Bruce Pearl obviously did his work and got the students out. It was a whiteout, and they had a good crowd for Alabama. Then they beat him by 20 points. And afterward, he comes out and starts. He's got his jacket is half off, and he's got like one of the T-shirts on that from the whiteout. And he starts like beating his chest and raising his hands up in the air. And he takes his jacket and spikes it on the floor, and then raises the crowd up, raising the roof, and they're going nuts, eating it up, loving it. That's why I like Bruce Pearl, because he's a promoter of the game, energetic, tries to inject some enthusiasm.
Well, and people buy into it. Yes. They follow it.
He had it rolling at Tennessee that way. Hard to do at Auburn, but if they start winning, they'll be there. The crowd will come.
Mm-hmm.
Other SEC games. Tennessee beat Mississippi State 91-74. Kentucky plays at Tennessee Tuesday, 9 p.m. Ugh, hate those 9 o'clock games.
It.
LSU at Arkansas. It was Arkansas 99 86. But Louisville lost to Florida State 73-68. Kansas took care of Texas 79-67. And, of course, Kansas comes to Rupp Arena next Saturday. Paul Feinbaum's show will be live from the Rupp Arena lobby Friday from 3 to 7. ESPN College Game Day will be live from Rupp Arena at 11 a.m. And then the game against Kansas is, I believe, at 6:15. So, big one next week.
I think West Virginia lost too, didn't they?
For the second time. In the last, I mean, they've lost two in a row now. They lost to Oklahoma at home, and then they lost at Kansas State 79-75. So I don't know what happened to West Virginia, but they've fallen off. Arizona upset UCLA in Los Angeles at Pauley Pavilion 96-85. Arizona a winner over UCLA. And then Minnesota almost pulled off the upset against Wisconsin, but lost 78-76. And then in the OVC, it was Morehead State winning over EKU 80-54. Morehead, Murray State, Jacksonville State are all 5-2 in the OVC, but it's Belmont 7-0. Belmont likely to be the favorite anyway to come out of the OVC, but you know, Morehead, Murray State, an upset somewhere brewing in the tournament, as it sometimes does.
It usually does,
All right, we'll take a break and talk about these football games coming up later today, because they're going to be phenomenal. So we hope. Next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides, and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown, to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change, not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
Can I tell you what I think makes the insurance industry happiest of all? When so many people refuse to make a claim because they're afraid their rates will increase. It's absolutely crazy. I can tell you this. When I had to file a claim, I did, and my rates didn't go up. And if you're in a one-car accident as a passenger and don't file a claim, no matter who the driver is, the insurance company wins and you lose. Don't fall for this age-old trick. If you really want to save money on your premiums, bid them out every year. I guarantee you then you will save money. The insurance companies don't want you to hear this either. Be smart. Protect your family and your future, not your insurance company. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You watch how they load up. The ball's on one side. The weak side help will be all the way in the lane. So that's certainly what's open. Oh, not only the skip pass, how about the lob to Bam there? That's open any day of the week. Wow.
I think Bam, all of his buckets were dunks, right?
For the season.
14 of 17 his last four games, and afterward Calipari said he's got to get the ball more.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. How? I just watched this during the break, Mary Jo. You showed this to me
because
it was on SportsCenter. We got it on ESPN in here. And DeMarcus Cousins, you know, apparently reporters said he threw garbage cans in the tunnel after a loss to the Bulls. Like, well, it's just DeMarcus being DeMarcus. Good grief, did he have reason to be upset. 15 seconds left in a 99-99 game against the Bulls. Dwayne Wade goes up for a layup. DeMarcus Cousins jogs, almost walks.
And barely.
Yeah, barely grazes Wade.
It had no effect on the shot whatsoever.
I mean, he might have touched his jersey, but he was clearly trying to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
And they call a foul, and the Bulls win 102-99.
Yeah.
I would throw a garbage can, too.
But and he was so sarcastic after they asked him about the call. He said, you know what? Refs did a great job tonight. That was the absolute right call. You know, they don't get the credit they deserve. I applaud them tonight.
What's he going to do?
I know.
What's he going to do? I mean, he's tried everything. It's just his reputation is such, it can never be repaired. It just can't. Can't be repaired. Quickly, Horse of the Year, California Chrome won. Horse of the Year, second time, California Chrome won in 2014. Mm-hmm. Also won for Best Older Dirt Male. Also won for Best Moment in Thoroughbred Racing in 2016 for the Dubai World Cup win. And now California Chrome faces off with Arrogant next Saturday in the $12 million Pegasus World Cup down there at Gulfstream Park. Chad Brown won Trainer of the Year. Songbird was up for Horse of the Year, but won, you know, Best Three-Year-Old Filly. And then Javier Castellano won his fourth consecutive Eclipse Award as Best Jockey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
For Javier. Let's talk about these football games coming up today on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. At 2 o'clock, NFL coverage begins. And then at 3, it's the kickoff between the Green Bay Packers and the Atlanta Falcons from the Dirty Dirty. Last game in the Georgia Dome.
Yes.
That's it. This is the last one, the finale. So you know the Falcons don't want to go out without a win in their last game at the Georgia Dome, which would put them into the Super Bowl. That would be a perfect way to close out the Georgia Dome. And you say, but they're playing Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and they're on fire, and Aaron Rodgers is awesome. He is. Who's he going to throw the ball to?
So game time decisions are Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams, I saw up there, and Geronimo Allison.
All three of those guys are game time decisions.
Which means,
they're hurting.
They're hurting, but they're probably going to play. I mean, it's the AFC or NFC championship game. Like, yeah. You're going to play because you've got 2 weeks off and because the Super Bowl is on the line. So you're going to.
And then I did hear that Jordy Nelson is going to be outfitted with military-grade Kevlar padding for his ribs.
Ugh.
But you know, if you're a defensive back and you know this.
Of course.
You're hitting him directly in the ribs.
It's why Tony Romo gets hit directly in the ribs every time he steps on the field.
He gets punched in the back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just what it is. So who do you think wins?
Packers, because they're on fire. They've just got it. They got it rolling. Yeah. And the Atlanta Falcons are just known for, you know, blowing it.
Yeah. I got to go with the Packers on this one, too.
I mean, I would like to say Matty Ice is Matty Ice, but he's really good. But yeah. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got something else. He just, like he said, like Randall Cobb said, he just goes, okay, you go here, you go here, you go here, and we'll do this. And then he throws it to Jared Cook, and they get a field goal and win the game.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Packers in that one, and then we have the Steelers and the Patriots. How do you go against Tom Brady?
You don't. You can't.
At home.
You can't. The Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
And they're going to play the Packers.
I mean,
yeah,
they just are. I just can't envision the Patriots not winning this game.
Same here. Same here. So, I mean, that's that. I just do not see the Steelers winning. I mean, I can see the Falcons beating the Packers. I can't see Pittsburgh beating New England. So we'll see. Should be fun. All I really want.
Yeah.
Is games decided on the last possession?
Because none of these are our teams.
Right.
So, and they're not even, second or third choice. Like, well, I really like them, but, yeah, it's just, I don't really care. Although, the least interesting storyline to me is if the Falcons are in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's nothing there.
I know. Right? Yeah.
Nothing to really, the other ones have plenty.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. I feel like championship weekend usually delivers, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we usually get good games.
And I felt like last weekend we had some good games.
we did.
Both of those games, the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game and the Green Bay-Dallas game, were both great games.
Yeah. I think we see good football today. I sure hope so. And I do not want to do a single thing from 3 o'clock until bed. I want to sit down and watch football for 6 hours and then go to bed.
Well, you've been moving the last...
Well, now, the folks are two doors down. If they need some help, I got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to be like, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Is the cable hooked up yet? Or got an antenna? Wait, I've got an antenna. I'll bring it over. Hey, thanks for listening this weekend. Have a great week. And when we talk to you next, Kansas College Game Day. Can't wait.
By the way, you can also listen to those games right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
How about that guy that knows exactly